soul and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. For He has done great things. Yes, He has done great things. Oh, yes, He has. Yes, He has done great things. Oh, yes, He
has done great things.
So bless His holy. Has done great things. Yes, He has done great things. He's already done great things. Hallelujah. Yes,
He has done great things.
Oh, yes, He has done.
To take a minute to sing that as much as I could. God has been good to this little bride. Bless His holy name. He has done great things. I love the words to that. It's simple, but He has done great things. I'm not waiting for God to do something else. He's done great things already. I praise God. I praise him. And I bless him with all my soul. All my soul cries out. Praise God. Let's sing that again. Bless his holy name.
Name the bride will
bless the Lord.
Just bless the Lord with all my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy
seated. Give me one
Sitting
second, brother.
Fighting myself, you know, best thing to
be
do
seated,
is
guys.
Just give up.
Go ahead, brother.
Give up. When you're fighting, find yourself fighting, just give up.
Yeah.
Let him have it.
All right.
You know, I thank God for this week's been a week of rebukes.
Sure.
A week of correction. A week of teaching.
Just adjustments.
You know, and I thank Lord. I so appreciate a rebuke because I know you're going to do something.
Right.
I know you're going to move us up another level. And yeah. I need that. Keep on taking me up till you get me right out of here.
Yeah.
You know, it's a progressive thing. Always has been, always will be.
Amen.
And I appreciate what God has been teaching us. You know, that breakfast yesterday, I thought, that's Sunday night prayer meeting on steroids. I mean, I thank Lord.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Amen.
It was wonderful.
Amen.
The Lord just taking it, giving us his heart, you know. Teaching us,
right.
You know, and just telling us, this is what I want.
Amen.
This is what, and it's for our benefit. That's the whole thing.
Amen.
It's for our learning. It's for our, he just wants to bless us that much more.
Amen.
And I appreciate that. You know, he told us what the role of a worship service was, what the role of his leader was, and it all ran together.
Yeah.
You know, it's all the same thought, and I'm sure today is going to be more of that same thought.
Amen.
But, you know, he'd bring us to a worship, to a real worship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he had 24 elders just singing praise to him night and day, just forever.
Yeah, he loves it.
You know, and now the noise is down here. Amen. What should be coming out of his
Come
bride?
On.
How much we should give him all that we have.
Amen.
He's done so much, you know.
Amen.
We're spoiled, but we sure don't want to act like it.
No.
We want to be so appreciative of what God has done. You know, and it just puts in us, and Lord, what do you want? You know, puts a, you know, in the leadership. You know, we're all leaders, and we're all followers.
Right.
You know, we follow the leadership before us, and we lead those behind us.
Amen.
You know? And I'm so thankful. It's just the way God is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the way he's always been. And it just brings a real worship. And when we get here, you know, just some of my thoughts. Don't wait till a song leader gets up and start worshiping. You know, and it just, it bothers me. Always has bothered me. Just see the you know, on the board up there, we were sitting there reading, you know, the announcements over and over and over. Cut that off about 10, 15 minutes before the service starts. Start putting up there the words of what's being played.
Right, right.
Start, you know, even back there, there's a leadership. You
right.
know, you're leading the congregation to a place where, okay, the worship starts, you know. It starts at home. Should start at home. But if not, let it start 10, 15 minutes before.
Yeah.
You know, start looking at them words. Let them words mean something to you. You know, a real worship song is putting the worship in your heart.
That's right.
You know, that's bringing something. You're thinking about things. Yeah. You know, like I was thinking about that song this morning, when I think about the Lord.
Yeah.
How he's raised me.
Amen.
How he's brought me. How he's filled me to the uttermost.
Amen.
Lord, I think I want to praise him for that.
Amen.
You know, and I've never been just a big worshiper, you know, big, you know, Pentecost almost kind of turned me off in a sense, but when it's in your heart, that makes a difference.
Amen.
Then it's a true worship.
Amen.
And if anybody can truly worship God for what he's done, it's what we've seen. It's what this bride has seen.
Amen.
Especially in this day when we look all the way back and see everything he's done. Especially this church that has been word upon word upon word since I've been here. And it's just grown and progressed, and it's getting so great. And I think, Lord, it's time to, if I, you know, Brother Ram said it when he was 50. I said it was 50. You know, if I'm ever going to do anything for the Lord, I better
do it now.
Here at 66, I'm thinking, if I'm ever going to do anything
Amen.
For you, you know, that never gets old to
no.
me. I'm thinking, Lord, just bring it, bring it, bring it. Just lead me, and I will follow.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Sister Joy has prepared a song for us. Amen. Let's hear that, Sister Joy.
I just want to thank God that, you know, he brought me here one more time. And I'm so thankful for the little things and the big things, you know, especially for the word. You know, without this word, I won't be able to make it, you know. And God is he's the only one that who gave me strength daily that I can do things, you know, that needs to be done, you know. And also, I'm thankful that my husband is still here, that he's still alive today. And he kept me, and God kept me today for 28 years.
Amen.
I'm so thankful, you know. I do not say that much, but I am thankful. This message, and I do believe this message 100%. Even if my life is not much, so every single time I believe this message, Pastor Moore. I'm so thankful, and I feel blessed. You know, I look at the Philippines, you know, I could just stay there, but God just brought me here. You know, so I'm thinking, well, you know, I feel blessed, and I feel special. And I said, if there's people here that I don't like, you know, you don't like me or something like that, you have to love me because I'm here. God also put me here, and I'm also going to eternity just like you do. So, you know, I have this little revelation in me that nobody can take that away from me, you know. So I'm so thankful this message. So I'm just going to sing. I don't have a practice, but God told me to sing these things. And I struggled yesterday, and I said, if I don't get up, Satan will win. So I want to do these things.
This old world is full of pain and misery. Sometimes Satan sending lashes out of me, but with Jesus by my side, I am satisfied, and it's so peaceful in the arms of my Lord. It is so peaceful in the arms of my Lord. Jesus is so near. have his word, and it's so peaceful in the arms of my Lord. It is so peaceful in the arms of my Lord. In his presence I am sheltered from the storm. It's so good to feel his spirit, and it's so good to have his word, and it's so peaceful in the arms of my Lord.
It's so peaceful in the arms of my Lord. In his presence I am sheltered from the storm. It's so good to have his spirit, and it's so good to have his word, and it's so peaceful in the arms of my Lord. One more time. Hallelujah. Oh, it's so peaceful in the arms of my Lord. In his presence I am sheltered from the storm. It's so good to have his spirit, and it's so good to have his word, and it's so peaceful in the arms of my Lord. Amen. Sister Johanna, you can be seated, guys.
I was just in there, and I was thinking, I had to get up there because I didn't want to chicken out, because today God was telling me the same thing that he was telling with Brother Don Deskins on. And at first I was like, he said it better than I could ever say it, so I don't need to get up. But then it dawned on me, like, it's just God dealing with his body, and it's one body. We should have similar thoughts, and it's an honor to have the same thought as you, because you're a strong elder in here. And I was like, and that shows that God's dealing with me. And I was just in there, and I'm so thankful for this place. And I was thinking, I was so excited when Pastor Moore said about the ministry, that we all have a ministry. Yes. And it excited me, because I'm thankful for what the ministry that God gives me, and I want to push this word up higher any way I can. I don't care what way that is, but I want to bring myself in here, and then I want to get out of the way, because
right.
I want God to use me. I don't want it to be me. I want it to be all God, and that's my prayer every day. I always pray that God moves me up as a wife and a mother and a Christian, and that he has a relationship with me, and the way that people talk, like God talking to them, I want that, like, to sit there and have conversations with God, and I want to meditate on him and get out of the way. But then Dwayne helped me so much there, because I'm like, I don't really do that. He's like, yes, you do. You have conversations with me every day, and we talk about God. You talk
right.
to your mom and dad. You talk to your siblings. And he's like, that's you talking to God. And then I was just too carnal. And I just love that God helps us every day. And he talks to us, and it's a real God, and it's a real peace, just like you saying, Sister Joy, and we love you very much. I don't think everyone here loves each other, and I don't ever want that to be in anyone's head. Even if you ever think that, at least know that I love you so much, because I love this body with right. my whole life. It is my whole life, and it's just the peace that this brings, and I love the mechanics and the dynamics, because God's given me both. And
right.
I'm so thankful that that quickening power comes to me. And I just love this place so much. I'm just thankful to be here. And I just want to move up and out of here too.
Amen. God bless you, Johanna. Brother John.
Amen. So many Amen. Thoughts in my mind, I'll never be able to express them all. It's so peaceful in the arms of my Lord.
Amen.
You know what? In that song, it says to have his word. I am his word.
Amen.
I'm his word manifested to this right. to this world, to this generation.
Amen.
And I praise God for that. And I praise God for letting us know that we're each an individual.
Amen.
You know, we're part of a body. We're part of this body. We're part of that body. But we're an individual.
Amen.
And you know, when I calm down and just
thought on, you know, God gives us each a measure. You know, and I don't have to get the measure someone else has.
No.
I just have to get my measure.
Right.
And I got my measure.
You're right, amen.
And that's all it takes. And I praise God for that. And I praise God for being who I am. Yeah. You know, because sometimes, you know, you see people that, you know, they testify better than you. They sing better than you. They do everything better than you. But God doesn't want me to be them. He wants me to be me.
Right, right.
And when he showed me that, I fell back in his arms.
Right.
And it's so peaceful. And yes, God talks to us every day in every way. Through my brothers, through my sisters, through my wife. I'm so blessed that we can sit there in the morning, in the darkness, and just talk about this thing.
Right.
And God talks to each other.
Yeah.
And it's just beautiful to meditate on this word, you know, and then to be woke up in the middle of the night and just to think on him. And, you know, and not be carnal and say, is he talking back to me? He woke me up. He must be talking to me.
Right.
You know, I just praise God. So many thoughts in my mind. And I thank God for the leadership we have here. You know, that leadership, Brother Don, is the thing that gets us in order. You know, that's the thing. And we have the full mechanics. You know, so many churches don't have the full mechanics.
Right.
You know, they get born on a little bit of that word, and they're born. Yeah, don't get confused there. But we've been blessed. But too much that's given,
much
is required.
Right.
So there's a lot required from this body.
Amen.
A lot required. And Pastor wants us to be yielded to the Spirit. He doesn't want me to get up here as a tradition or as a ritual or as I have to. He wants me to listen to the Spirit that I have, the Word, the God, that he himself that's in me, and get up and express what he says to me. I just love it. I love our assembly. I just see so much now that I never saw before. And it's just, I've been here a long time. And it's just, it is progressive. It gets better and better every day. But just remember that first word, you're born again. Mm-hmm. Don't let Satan trick you. As Pastor says, drive that stake. Stand by it.
Right.
And just know.
Amen. 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 God bless you. Yeah.
Well, amen. You know, I didn't know I was going to get up here this morning, but God knew I was going to get up here. You know, last week, I can say it was a rough week for me. I'm dealing with, you know, it's hard when you deal with aging parents. Right. Amen. And my dad has onset of dementia. A lot of things he doesn't recall. My mom's frustrated, and I'm there to help and do all I can, and I'm seen to be the sounding board for my whole family. A cousin calls saying she's got stage 3 cancer, bald as an eagle, and, you know, it's a lot on you.
Right,
but, you know, through it all, you know, I was going to my parents, and I tend to hold things in for me. And my best thing was I just let out a big old cry, and it felt good. It felt good. It was an ugly cry, but it was a good cry. Yeah, my family knows me. I'm the crier of the family, you know. They know mom's going to cry, you know. So it was a good cry. But through it all, I learned, you know, and I always had my little sticky notes. Mm-hmm. But it got me through because through it, you know, so many scriptures that, I mean, you don't have an excuse sometimes. I mean, my human side, you know, of course you're going to cry, you're going to go through all these emotions,
right.
But your spiritual side has another understanding.
Amen.
But I know we're human. But the thing, I looked through all these scriptures and I found things on trusting God and just put my hope in him. Yes. And the thing that got me through this week was Psalm 62:7-8, and God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Another one, 1 Peter 5:6-7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I know God cares for me. He cares for us all. And I just had to express that through it all, you know, the thing that is a strength is God's word. You can't filled with God's word. You can't. And just to get that strength to go on through, watch my parents go through this cycle of life. And I know some have been through it already. Some have not. I'm going through it.
Right.
It's not fun. It's not easy. You know, cherish your parents while they're on this earth. Cherish them because, you know, a lot of times my dad doesn't know. He doesn't know, you know. I played the flute for him the other day, and he didn't know it was. He's like, you played that? I'm like, yeah, Dad. When did you play that? When, you know, a lot of things he doesn't know, but that music comfort him.
Amen.
And if I can do that every time I'm there, that's what I'll do for him. So keep my parents in your prayers. Amen. Keep me in your prayers to do what God wants me to do for them. So, thank you.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're all right.
Two things real quick. One, it's good to be here this morning.
Amen.
I actually want to sing a song. I'm going to let you guys help me. I'm going to sing this little light of mine because I was thinking about your guys' testimony. I know our light's big, but I like what you said. You know, whether I'm a 20-watt light bulb, an 80-watt light bulb, a 100-watt light bulb, whether I'm preaching behind that pulpit or whether I'm the person that's cleaning the church or whatever, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine.
Amen.
But real quick before I sing that song, we've got a few things going on. If you'll notice, we've, on the announcements, we've scheduled a date for the Wilds. And it's actually going to be Saturday, July 8th. And there's a sign-up sheet back there. And we're going to give you 3 weeks to sign up because we've got to buy some tickets early. Church is going to pay half. And what that means is $23 for you per person that's going to go. So keep that in mind. And we'll have a good time. We had a good time last time. But this is a lot of mine. James, you can help me, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Brother Moore was teaching us, you know, we sometimes get in a rut where we think we only have three up here.
Yeah.
I thought, I'm going to throw a fourth at
him. Yeah, let's do it.
There's something about that fourth man anyhow.
Yeah.
So let's just sing it together.
Amen. Let's sing it.
This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. I won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Yes, this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine. Oh, I'm gonna let it shine. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine.
Amen. I'm had the brothers get the offering here. Announcements real fast. We got you know, appreciate the brothers for the breakfast yesterday. That was a great time. You heard in the testimonies. And then this this Thursday, musicians are going to be practicing with the young people. And then on Saturday, May 6th, the sisters are going to be going to the main house events, which is on 104 West Main Street. And we'll send that out for you guys, have that address. Then on May 7th, Pastor Moore is going to be preaching at Little Bethlehem, so he's going to be preaching there on Sunday morning. So he's doing that, and his plan is to go with just you and a couple people, right, Pastor Moore?
I could probably take up to 10 people, but
okay.
I don't want to take any more.
So we'll have church here Sunday morning. So we're going to have church here Sunday morning. We'll have ourselves a good time, and they'll have themselves a good time down there in Little Bethlehem. Looking forward to what God's going to do there. And I'm just grateful for what we get here. I got a song that's been on my mind all week. Didn't I Walk on the Water, page 233. We'll sing That's Key of D. And I'm grateful for the spirit of worship that we get in here. Appreciate the leadership that we get in here. I had the Sister Chrissy talked about crying. I said, ever since I had a daughter, I've been a crier. I wasn't before then, but just something there. But now I get, every time I see like weddings and I see the dad that loved his daughter so much, and he gives her away. He's just trusting. He's saying, I did the best I could, but I'm trusting you now. And that's how I feel sometimes when I come in here. I go, I did the best I could to get here. Now, Lord, I got to trust you wholly. I can't, all life, whatever you go to do to get to the door, but I'm here now. Yeah. I'm trusting you, Lord, to just take it, do whatever you got to do. And what better hands could I be in? Yes. What better father, what better husband did I get turned over to? And I just get emotional thinking about how much God loves us, you know? Think about a father, you know, on this side, you can love your kids as much as you can, but you can't give them everything that God gives you. You know, he gives you a peace. He gives you a rest. Amen. He never leaves you, never forsakes you. And I'm just grateful for that. And sometimes, you know, you go through stuff and you forget that God did walk on the water for you. Sometimes you forget that he did calm the storm. So let's sing that song, Key of D. Didn't I Walk on the Water? As I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, I'll go down in defeat. And he said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the winds, and it hushed, and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sins? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again. He said, do you remember where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you at how far that you come. And every time that you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through? And he said, I walked on the water, and I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, and it hushed, and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sins? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around.
soul, let us praise Him. Lord Jesus, now, for we are standing in God's presence on holy ground. Yes, we are standing on holy ground.
Krista, you want to say something? You may be seated.
Okay. I would just like to say that when I spoke to my husband and he shared what the breakfast was about, it was so touching to my heart. And it was nothing but the truth and the guidance that we get here at this body. I'm just so appreciative to have a place to come. I do not take anything for granted because it is the Lord that guides me and has guided my family. And Pastor Moore, again, I would like to thank you, Brother Jeremiah, Brother Jay, the sisters and the body, the musicians, everyone. Again, I couldn't do it without you all being in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am ready for the rapture.
Amen.
I know that I am a believer.
Amen.
And I know that God guides me. I make mistakes. I'm human. But my soul knows God, loves God, and He wants to do things for the Lord. I am my Father. We are one.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I want to thank my husband. He is such a good man, and he believes this message.
Oh, yes.
And initially, when I came here, it was hard for me. I will not deny that. I was a Baptist, and this was all different
for
me. You know, but I have been here under this message off and on for 30 plus years. And Pastor Moore, I would like to say, I'm just so thankful and grateful for your guidance. And I don't want to take none of that for granted. Thank you.
I trust in God.
Amen.
Wherever I may be, upon the land or on the stormy sea, let come what may, from day to day my heavenly Father watches over. wherever I may be. Upon the land or on the stormy seas, though billows roll, He keeps my soul. My heavenly Father watches over me. That's why I trust in God. Father, we come before you this morning so grateful for your word, so thankful for your promises, so glad that I can receive your word, that I can lay my thinking down and pick yours up. Oh, that's so rare. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you for your people gathered. Thank you for this chance to come and thank you for your truth one more time. Lord, we know you watch over us. I can look back and see where you brought me from. And I'm so grateful for that. Lord, thank you for this group of people who are gathered here this morning. We come for one reason, and that's to give you the praise for all that you've done for us. And Lord, we can see your mighty hand in every move, every curve, every turn in our lives. Some things are easy and we can do it with no problem at all. But Father, there's times we come upon a mountain. It's too steep to climb. And we don't know how we're going to get over it. But your word told us that if we speak to these mountains, not climb it, but speak to the mountain, and you'll move it out of our way. Lord, sometimes we come to problems in our lives where our loved ones are slipping away from us, and we can't stop it. But Lord, we ask you to help us to look to your words, knowing that, Lord, that as we move through this life, there'll be things that come our way that we can't stop. But Lord, you are able to not just take us around it, but Lord, you could take us through. Lord, sometimes there's trouble in our jobs and troubles in our homes and troubles in ourselves. And Father, we ask you to watch over us and help us, Lord, to move every mountain out of the way, every trouble, get through it. Lord, you give us everything we need by giving us your word. And we're so thankful for that. We're thankful that you watch over us. Thankful that when it looks dark, Lord, the light that's within us shines brighter than the darkness. That when we should be down, we find ourselves up. When we should be disappointed, we find ourselves hopeful. When we should have no hope, Father, we find hope. It's all found in your word. And let us grab hold of your word and use it for our growth, for our rest, for our understanding, for our peace. And Lord, as we open the word here this morning, we ask you to move it out of the book and move it into our hearts, that it can be one with us. Those that are sick this morning and couldn't be here, ask you to touch them, Father. But Lord, while we're here for these few minutes, Lord, just come by here and speak to our hearts. Thank you for all you've done, and thank you for a waiting congregation that loves your truth. And what kind of a man would I be to get up here and tell them anything different? Father, have your way in this service. As you have in the first part, do so for the remainder. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. And I'm glad that you're here, and I appreciate all the efforts that went into the breakfast yesterday. And for the brothers, I appreciate your coming out, taking the time. I know some brothers couldn't make it, but those of you who did, I appreciate you coming. And before we even got ready to leave, it was asked when we're doing this again. So it's like, oh, Lord, we don't know when, but if God lays it on our hearts, we'll do it again. We never had a brother's breakfast here, and it was good. And I appreciate Brother John Brinkman. Yeah. You sisters are clapping, but y'all didn't see what he did. He had so much food, and everything was prepared and ready. And he says Dawn did it in the background, but he followed out the instructions and nothing was burnt. And I appreciate it. And I appreciate the brothers' input and all that was said there. Now, I think I told the brothers yesterday, I think I'm going to crash in on our sisters next Saturday. They've got their sisters' brunch planned. So I might stop in for a little bit, if nothing else, to see what y'all eating. Because John told us yesterday, y'all won't have as good as food as what we had. So I'll be the judge of that. But I appreciate all that that we get here. And it's just something I felt we wanted to do. And it's just something that wanted to do to get the brothers together and get the sisters together, because we don't really have that too often, where it's just the brothers or just the sisters. And you can talk about anything when you get, you know, it depends on your audience. And sometimes it's good to have just the brothers by themselves, and sometimes the sisters need to get together to do more than talk about each other. And so, you know, it's time for us to do that. And I pray that you all have a good time with yours as the brothers did with theirs. It's good to be in the house of the Lord and be back again. And I'm going to be, this is going to be a busy day for me today. I'm going to be going over, I got a call from Brother Allen from Little Bethlehem. And he said he's going to be over Brother Sievert's this afternoon at 5 for service there. So I told him I might sneak in on him, and Brother Ben Norod's going to be preaching there, so I'm going to probably go over for a little bit. I'll go over there from before our service here, so I'll go there and probably leave early and then come back here for tonight's service. So I told you this is a year of me getting out, so I can't tell you that and not do it. So I guess I'll do that this afternoon, and then we'll be back tonight at 7 for Bible study. I told Jeremiah and Jay, be ready in case I get held up or something, because I never know. You know, I make plans, but God makes greater plans. But my plan is to be back here tonight for Bible class. And then a week from today, I'm going to go down to Little Bethlehem, and I'm going to minister, Lord willing, for Brother Allen down there. He wants me to come down, and down there, their capacity to handle a whole lot is not good, but I could take probably about 10 people with me down there, and the rest of you come here, and I think Jay's going to be ministering Sunday, and I'll grab a few to take with me, and then everybody else just come here, have service, and let God thrill your soul with Brother Jay. He's a good preacher. I've heard him once or twice. And it never hurts my feelings to be able to sit and listen to him minister. So I've never not been blessed. I don't know it's always been a blessing. And I think he's been ministering now for 7 years. I think it's 7 years or something like that. But it seems like it's been a lot longer than that. Like I said, it's not in the years, it's in the yielding. So come and be blessed. And I'll be probably tuning in later on. I think the service is down there, starts at 11, so I might hear the first part of it while we're on our way down there. But amen. So that'll be good. So I want to get started this morning. I've got a thought here that I've been looking at. And I want to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 to start out with. And I've got 13 verses, three verses I want to read here. Look like four. And then we'll move on from there. So if you stand with me, we'll read starting at verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, and if any man build upon the foundation of gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. May the Lord add its blessing. You may be seated to the reading of his word. And I'd like to title this morning's message, The Building of God's House. And I've been thinking about this week. And the one thing I took out away from Brother James' message on Wednesday night I took one word out of there. I had a lot of notes and I wrote a lot down, but there's one thing that I walked away with that had me thinking on this all week. And it's so much so that I've heard it mentioned, I think, twice or three times this morning. And the word is progression. Progression. And I didn't look the word up, but to progress is to move forward, to build on, to add on to something that's already there. And I was thinking on this week, and I love this reading here because we're dealing with Paul, and Paul was building for Jesus Christ. Amen. And he said, according to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder. He's a builder. And Paul knew that what he was building on, that nobody could take away from that. And this has been a theme that's been really something we've been looking at for the last couple of weeks, on how that when God builds, he doesn't build and take away. He just builds. And we think that God's building and tearing down and building and tearing down, and the church ages when it went in, and we're thinking that God tore down the church. And no. God's building the whole time.
Amen.
He was the whole seven ages was the building of the body. Right. It wasn't a tear down and a build to destroy and then a build up. Everything that God did, he added to what he already had.
Amen.
And the thing that I like about that is because that plays a part in every area of our lives. When you talk about your own salvation, we've been talking about this lately. God doesn't give you a revelation and then come back and tear that down and give you a different revelation. God builds on his revelation. So God's only thing God's ever done was build. And even when Jesus went to Calvary, that was still God building. Because that was a part of the necessary building. That cornerstone was needed to build from the foundation. If you build and you build on sand and you build on something without a foundation, what's going to happen to that, Don? It ain't going to stand very long. It'll be fall. And the Bible said, great will be the fall thereof. Because you got to have a foundation to start with. And whether it's yours, see, your foundation in your salvation is your new birth.
That's right.
That is the first place it starts.
Amen.
If you want to ever get anywhere with God, you first must be born again. And God will build on that. He's not going to build something and tear down. See, that's why when people walk away from the Word of God, you can safely say that they've never been born again. Because God's not going to give you a new birth and then you go away and then come back and get another new birth. Either you got a new birth and God's going to break your leg and bring you back, or you don't have a birth at all and you never had it to begin with.
Amen.
So you got to worry about your foundation till you get it. But once you get established, once you get a foundation, once you get a new birth, you don't have to worry about your good living. You don't have to worry about cleaning up your life. You don't have to worry about the rapture. You don't have to worry about the dead getting up. You don't have to worry about the marriage supper. You don't have to worry about anything, because everything that you have need of, God will build from that very first thing he gave you. Because he's the master builder. He knows how to build a body. He knows how to build a Christian.
That's right.
He knows what you need to build on. And Paul knew that he was a master builder.
Right.
And Paul knew that what he was building was going to stand. And anything that ever got built on top of what Paul had to add to what Paul built.
Amen.
And that's the way. That's why you can't add to and you can't take away.
Right.
That's why you got to take the word of God as it is.
Right.
And if you say, well, I've been slacking and I haven't given God all that I need to give him, then why not?
Right.
If he's giving you the foundation of the new birth, just lean in on that.
Right.
Let him have your life. Let him have your love. Everything you've got, let him have it. And he knows how to build.
Right. Amen.
If you want to be a built-up Christian, oh, just turn it over to God. And don't worry about the details, because you think, well, let me try to build it. You don't know how to build it. You don't even know the blueprint. Not really. You don't even know what he's trying to do with you. You don't know what he has in store for you. He might want you to be a preacher. And that might not be in your plans. Wasn't in mine. But see, the thing is, when you turn it over to the master builder, he will build whatever he needs out for you.
Amen.
Paul said, I've laid the foundation. Yes. Paul knew that he wasn't the end of it.
That's right.
He knew he wasn't the finish. He didn't even expect the body change.
No.
He didn't expect the rapture. Matter of fact, he said, this thing has to happen before that happens.
Right.
He said, but I do know one thing. Whatever God does do, it'll be built on what I built.
Amen.
It'll be built on my foundation.
Right.
And I and nobody can lay another one.
No, that's right.
He said, I've laid the foundation. And another will build thereon.
Right.
See, a preacher can't build on anything other than what the prophet brought.
That's right.
The prophet can't build on anything other than what God gave him.
That's right.
The laity can't build on anything other than what the preacher brought.
Amen.
The wife can't build on anything else than what the husband brought.
Amen.
The children can't build on anything other than what the parents brought.
Amen.
But if you build, you got to build on the same foundation.
Amen.
I don't take a house and build a foundation and go over next to it and start building the walls.
No.
Paul said there ain't another foundation couldn't be laid.
Amen.
Said there can't be anything built outside of what another builder thereon. Somebody's going to build on me. But what you bring has got to tie to what I already have.
Amen.
That's why I'm telling you, and I've been telling you for weeks, when you get a new birth, every revelation you get after that new birth has got to tie into your new birth. Because your new birth is your foundation. And everything, and people get off the word of God because they start building off of something other than the foundation.
Amen.
Or they don't have a foundation. A lot of them don't have a foundation.
Right.
Most of them don't have a foundation. Because if you take every revelation you receive and tie it back to what God first told you, see, it's not hard to understand whether a preacher is preaching the truth or not. Does it tie to what God told me? And it doesn't mean that you know it all, because I've learned a lot of things from a lot of preachers, and I've learned a lot of things over the years, but it built and added to what I already had. I didn't go back and try to get a new birth again. Or I don't get a new birth every week. Or I'm not trying to get started over every time. No, if Jay or Jeremiah preaches something, I'm looking to see how it's going to tie with what I already have. Do you have everything? I don't have everything, but I have the author. I have the master builder. And when the master builder builds anything, and that's why it doesn't matter whether the Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, interdenominational, outer denominational, if they get up and they preach the word of God,
Amen.
You can take that word and build on your foundation.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what his background is. Doesn't matter who that preacher is. People get caught up in preachers and churches and denominations, and it's not about that. It's your foundation and how God's building on you. It's an individual work. It's an individual building. God's building on you just like he built on the church. Everything you get's got to tie back. Every revelation you get's got to tie back. And God didn't, when we in our thinking, we almost think God almost lost it. Down through the ages, we think God messed up. He about lost it. Satan about won. God was building the whole time. But the bride had to go through what her husband went through. He said, except the seed, corn of wheat, go in the ground, it abideth alone. That wasn't just the groom he was talking about.
Right.
That's any seed.
Right.
the seed in you. Right. Unless it die and rot. Right. It abides alone.
Right.
The body through the ages. Unless it died and rotted. Right. It abided alone. Right. So he said that everyone has to. He said, I have laid the foundation and another build thereon. But let every man take heed on how he build thereon. You need to watch what you eat. You don't just eat anything because a preacher said it. You don't just eat anything because Sister Smith said it. Well, she's an elder of the church. How's it tied to your foundation? How's that preacher's message tied to your foundation? How's it helping you? How's it tying with the Word of God? Because God builds by His Word. That's how He does it. Take heed how He builds thereon. For another foundation can no man lay that was laid. I don't care if it's Buddha. I don't care if it's Muhammad. I don't care if it's Malcolm X. I don't care who it is. If that doesn't go on Paul's foundation, it ain't of God. You say they're good people. I didn't say they weren't. A lot of good people build houses and don't pat a footer. Look all over in right view. I told my realtor, I don't want a house in right view. And it's not because I don't like the neighborhood. It's because Brother Childers told me that after World War II, when they tore the base barracks down to build the airport, that the people who lived here went over there and got the lumber and built houses. That's all fine and dandy. But that's before building codes. And they built those houses on the ground. They did. We've owned them. We've been in them. We've repaired them. You take the carpet, you take the flooring off in the kitchen, and you looked at dirt. You look at the edges of the building, and they're sinking. And eventually, unless you do something about it, it's going to sink it to the ground. Unless they luckily enough to build on a rock. But you got to make sure that there is a solid foundation first. Before you try to serve God, find out that you're born again first. You must be born again first. That's why we always go back to that. We've gotten so educated in this message that we don't even talk about being born again. We don't even talk about a personal revelation. A personal relationship. We think that's Billy Graham when we talk about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the truth.
Amen.
You must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yes,
He's the master builder.
Right.
You can't build anything without Him.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And Paul said, for another foundation can no man lay. And the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. He's a cornerstone. That's the first one. That's the first stone you put in. If you're going to run, if you're going to build and run a house and brick it or whatever, you put that cornerstone in, and then you start there and work your way around. Is that right, Don? You a builder? You don't put the cornerstone in last. You put it in there first, because everything has to be measured off of the cornerstone. It's got to line up with the cornerstone. It's got to be squared and it's got to be right. Before you put the roof on, you got to make sure you are squared up and lined up with that cornerstone. And if you aren't in line with the cornerstone, you got to tear it down and do it again. Oh, I've had to tear many walls back down that I didn't do right. You got to do it according to the blueprint, according to the Bible, according to the Word. And Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. Do you know why it has to be perfect? Because the cornerstone is the capstone. And the cornerstone's got to be perfect, and the capstone's got to be perfect, and everything that he builds between has got to be perfect. And that's why Paul said, there can't be no other foundation laid than what I've already laid, because I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that every revelation that you get has got to tie back to mine. Building of God's house. It's got to be done according to the Word of God. Because Jesus Christ is that cornerstone. Jesus Christ is that capstone. Jesus Christ is the building.
Yes.
Amen. He said, now, if any man build upon the foundation, and you can build with a lot of stuff. You got windows. You got, I should let Caleb say this. He's just doing it. He's doing a room addition. Windows, doors, siding, drywall, insulation. But you know what? Everything is going in that building for the one same self purpose. If any man build upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, whatever you use. See, back then, that's what they used. It is a part of the whole. Whatever you use to build this house with, every man's work. Now, this one, I got a kick out of this. Every man's work shall be made manifest. It's going to manifest. You're not going to serve God and not manifest God. You say, well, I believe this, but I don't live it. Then you don't believe it. Because you only have one life. And if that life is Christ's life, that Christ has got to live out of you. If the life of Christ is not living out of you, then you're dead while you live. You say, well, I'm trying. You need to quit trying. You need to let him have it. You need to go back to that cornerstone. You need to go back to where you began, where you first believed. Go back and measure yourself according to the Word of God and see if you can line with that cornerstone. You will manifest. When he built this body of all ages, every age manifest. Every one of them did. They didn't even know they were doing it. So you don't even have to know you're doing it.
Right.
Matter of fact, you'll do it and look back in the scriptures and recognize it's just talking about you.
Amen.
Those Old Testament saints didn't have a Bible.
Right.
The New Testament saints didn't have a Bible. They just lived by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
They moved by the Holy Ghost. Right. And the Holy Ghost was doing what he wanted to do through them. We didn't even get a Bible to the people till Luther. And all the way down through the ages, they did exactly what they were ordained to do without even thinking about it.
Amen.
Every man's work shall be made manifest for the day.
Yes.
I love that. You got to recognize your day and its message. Luther, his works were manifested in his day. See, God was building the whole time. That's what said. We don't go back here. We started Luther all the time. Let's go back to Arrhenius.
Come on. He's still building.
He was building.
Amen.
God was building with Arrhenius.
Yes.
Paul said, I got the foundation. I'm the start of this thing.
Right.
But watch how you build, because when you build, your day is going to manifest and we'll be able to see it.
Right. Amen.
So we make a mistake when we start just with Luther.
Come on.
Because we think that's when God picked it up and got it right.
No.
God had it right the whole time.
Amen.
It was God's building all the way through.
Amen.
It was always God's plan. It was always God's work. And every man that built on Paul's foundation, his works were made manifest in their day.
Right.
Oh, you didn't think Paul was talking about the seven church ages? Oh, yes, he was. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Every one of those days declared what their message was for their day. And as much as Irenaeus was losing a lot of things that Paul had, remember, it wasn't Irenaeus' fault that he didn't believe everything that Paul preached. It was only given that amount to him. I got a quote here I'm going to read. It's going to really, I can't wait to get to it. But they only were given enough for the day that they were living in. That's all they had. And we look at it like they were falling. They weren't falling. That was God only allotting the word for them. But their day declared it. And they built on that same foundation that Paul did. What did Brother Branham say? He said, when I went to look for the messengers, I went to find the man that most represented Paul. Why? Because Paul was the foundation. Paul was the cornerstone. He was right there. Paul was talking about Jesus, the cornerstone. And everything had to fit on top of what Paul had. And that's why Brother Branham looked for the man that closely represented Paul for every age. Amen. He said, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. By who? That Holy Ghost fire. It'll be revealed by fire. Amen. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it was. In every age. Every age was tried. Every age was checked. God was building a house the whole time. We think God was tearing it down and building up. No, God was building the entire time. It just didn't look like it to the world. And Satan couldn't even begin to understand what God was doing. And God, as a matter of fact, Satan thought he had it. He thought, I'm beating them down. I'm beating them down. I'm killing them. I'm slaying them. I'm tearing the babies out. I'm feeding them to the lions. I'm doing all these things. And the word is just about gone. I can't find hardly anybody on the earth that believes what Paul believed. That's what the devil thought. But the whole time God was, we was chipping away. He's building his body. He was working on that body. Brother Branham said, and I won't read the quote, but I'll just quote it to you. Brother Branham said, God's not building a wall. He's building a building. It takes a master builder to turn the corner. Every time God turned a corner, it took a master builder. There were seven master builders there. And every time God turned a corner, only ones that turned a corner were those who were helping the master builder. I've helped Don lay brick before. I know what that means. And you got hot carriers. You got people going to carry the bricks. And then you got your master builder. He ain't up and down and moving around. He's just there. When he reached behind him, better be a brick there. When that trowel goes on this side, there better be some mud there. So that master builder, his job ain't to be running around doing all this other stuff. His job is to turn that corner. I didn't try to do it. I'd carry the hide, I'd carry the brick, I'd mix mortar, I'd do anything else. Make sure Don had everything else. But I wouldn't turn no corner. Because you know what? You got to know how to turn a corner. Just anybody can't turn a corner. Take somebody that's a master, somebody that knows what they're doing to turn a corner.
Amen.
Listen to what Brother Branham said here in the masterpiece. He said, he started on the day of Pentecost to build another masterpiece. The original seed word started in the first church. What was it? The seed word, the word manifest, the promise that had been given. Job said, it shall come to pass on the last day that said, God, I'll pour my spirit out upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. What he would do in the last 2,000 years. Notice, and to start out, as the original, as Jesus said, the word of God is a seed that a sower sowed. He was the sower. The seed was the word. And notice, any seed that abides alone never does nothing. If you got a seed of God in you, and you never get, you will be born again, but as long as you're not born again, let me put it that way, as long as you're not born again, you aren't doing nothing. Amen. Nothing for God. It says it never does nothing. It's got to fall into the ground to bring forth its production again. That's the whole reason that God held back his word. He held back his word till we got here. Because you got to understand, God wasn't just doing this shooting from the hip. He had a whole plan of redemption. Remember that he sat on that throne for 7 ages as a mediator between God and man. He had an attribute of being a mediator. That's why he did it for 7 ages. Amen. He knew you weren't going to get here until now.
That's right.
So he stretched out his mediation for 2,000 years till you got here. God's plan to come and reveal the seals, that was in him.
Amen.
That was a part of him that had to manifest. But he held that back. See, God holds things back until the time of manifestation. He doesn't reveal everything at once, like I said last week. I said, God doesn't just give everything up at once. He holds back a part of his plan until it's time of manifestation.
Amen.
He's always done that, and he always will do that. We got a part of the plan is the marriage supper. But he's holding that back. But it will manifest. Everything that's in the mind of God will manifest. Every attribute that he has will manifest. He wanted to be a healer. He wanted to be a revealer. He wanted to be a redeemer, a mediator. He wanted to be a revealer. He wanted to be... All these things were in him, and it took this thing called time to make all that stuff manifest. He couldn't just do it all at once. Just like you, when you were born again, you got your first revelation. You got your foundation. He didn't give you what you have now when you first started. If he had given me what I have now when I started in 1980, I'd exploded. This body couldn't have handled it. If he'd given you now what you did when you first started, you couldn't have handled it. So God uses this thing called time. And in time, he uses revelation. And the whole time he's building, whether it's as the individual or as it's his manifested word or as building his body, whatever God's doing, he's using time to bring it to pass. He started another body after the day of Pentecost. Now, to show you here that we can't bring any other gospel, listen to what Paul said in Galatians chapter 1. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Another gospel. Another foundation. And then Paul said, which is really not another. There's only one gospel. Paul knew, he's like, there's only one foundation, there's only one gospel. He said, I marvel, Jesus has only been gone a few years, and I've just brought this to you, and I marvel that so soon you started building on another foundation. So these are people who are not born again. These are people who only got a taste of the goodness. These are people who come around the word. See, there's a lot of people come around the word, but the word never gets in them.
Amen.
If the word ever gets in you, I don't have to worry about what you're going to do.
That's right.
Because you're going to start, the master builder's going to move in. And what the master builder does is build. He'll start building right away. You'll take one and he'll give you one revelation.
Right.
Okay, my first revelation is I need to be in the house of God. I can't hear this without being under the preacher. And that's where I'm going to get my truth. If I'm going to get any revelation from God, it's going to be because I'm in the house of God. Well, that's the master builder talking to you.
Right.
And you build on that. You start manifesting that one little thing. Then you get into the house of God. You don't really want to be here, but you know, okay, fine, I'll come, but I'll come late. Then the master builder says, how are you going to get anything if you come late? He said, well, I only want to come for the preaching. You're fooling yourself.
Amen.
It ain't about the preacher. God speaks starting at 10 o'clock. It's a body ministry. See, you are fooling yourself. You're trying to build on another foundation if you don't want to include the body into God talking to you. That's like Johanna. She said this morning, she said, see, if you weren't here, you didn't hear it. Johanna said this morning, I'm talking to Dwayne and said, I want God to talk to me.
Yeah.
See, you're back in Sunday school, so I'm telling on her. Dwayne's like, what did she say? And Dwayne told her that when I talk to you and we talk, that is God talking to you.
Amen.
We got ourselves in tunnel vision. We got ourselves thinking God's only going to talk one way. When you think the only time God is going to talk to you is through the pastor. I don't even come when Jay preaches. I don't even want to hear Jay. I want to hear the pastor. I don't want to hear Jeremiah. I want to hear the pastor. You're missing God. You're cutting yourself off. When you say, I'll come, but I'll come late enough so I just get there in time for the preaching. If you're coming to church late because you don't think you need that first testimony, there's a problem with you. You need to shake yourself and realize God's in the body. He ain't in me. He's in us. You're not coming here because of me. I ain't the only one that's got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I'll make it so strong you'll think I'm the only one that's got it. But I want you to understand this one thing. When we come to the house where two and three are gathered, that's what he said. He didn't say when the pastor get up, when the preacher get up, when the high and mighty get up. When two or three are gathered, he'll be in your midst. You don't even have to be in this building and God can talk to you. You can be sitting around the table with your husband and drinking a cup of coffee and God can be in your midst talking to you. But you got to recognize it. We don't hear from God because we don't get God the way we want him. But I'm sorry, God's not coming the way you want him. If the only God you got is what you hear coming out of me, you're shortchanging yourself.
Amen.
When a brother testifies, watch how you build. If he's testifying and he's preaching and saying the word of God, take that and put it on that building.
Amen.
It'll help you to grow.
Yes.
Some of these wives should be this morning taking notes what Johanna said. Because
right.
You didn't even think you heard from God today till you got here.
Right.
Your husband could have been talking to you before you got dressed.
Right.
But you just thought it's old Don.
Right.
He always says that. And here it is, God walking behind you, talking to you, trying to explain something to you, trying to make it clear. And you, when I get to church, hallelujah, I'm in the house of God. God's going to speak to me now because the pastor's here. You're shortchanging yourself. You got some bricks missing in your building. You think you don't need that window. You think you don't need that door. You need every bit of the body. Because the body is what gets you in tune with God. Not a person. He's in a many-membered body. Brother Brandon said, God will never dwell in one man alone again. If you don't find him in your husband, if you don't find him in your wife, if you don't find him in your brothers, if you don't find him in your sisters, you don't know God.
That's right.
You said, but I found him in you. If you don't find him in what I just told you, then you don't know God.
Right.
Because what I'm telling you is look around you.
Yeah.
There's other people here that's got God in them.
Yeah.
When they get up and say something and it's matching the word of God, it's God talking to you. Oh, there's people that get up and ain't building on the foundation. And you know what? I don't use those bricks. It's wrong color bricks. It doesn't fit the house. Don't fit what God's building. And I just lay it aside and said, God bless them. I don't talk about them. I pray for them. I said, God, they're going to pick up the right brick after a while. God, they're going to hand you the right mortar after a while. God, they're going to hot carry some bricks to you after a while. But for right now, God bless them. Don't hurt them. Don't get them. Did you hear what Don said? That man, every time he gets up, he's just dead. Don't hurt. Don't help nobody. How are you going to help Don with that kind of attitude? He's already kicking himself. And then you're going to go over and kick him too. And then you're going to kick Jay about him. And now Jay's got an attitude about him. Then two of you got an attitude. And Jay going to tell Courtney. And I'm going to tell Clarice. So there you got four. And oh, you know I'm going to let Mel know. Oh, there go five. Next thing you know, everybody in church is looking at Dutton. Then Don gets up, poor guy. He gets up, try to testify. And he's already nervous.
Yeah.
And he gets up here, and he looks out there, and all eyes do like this. And here Don is, just got off of the back side of the desert. God been talking to him since 4 o'clock this morning. He got something to say, and everybody... And they'll just sit, and I've seen fingernail clippings on the floor. When you got time to clip your nails when God's talking?
Come on.
I've cleaned them up off the floor in the church and think, now, number one, why are they clipping their fingers? And number two, why is it on the floor? And number three, does that thing go click, click every time they click? So they're disturbing the people around them. Right. Are they really that out of tune that God's here? Watch how you build. Because see, you're building. And if you're building and it doesn't match what the word of God, what I'm saying to you, you need to tear that thing down.
Amen.
Look at that cornerstone again and say, wait a minute. I'm not lining up. Let me tear that down. You know, you could put a wall up you have to take down. Been there, done that. Put a wall together. Forgot the header. And I'm looking at it like, something's missing here. Oh, and then you go to set it up next to the other walls and they're taller because you forgot that top board. See, y'all didn't think I knew how to build. I know what I'm talking about. And some of us need to learn how to build. Because what I'm seeing is that you're not building on this foundation that I'm playing out here. You got some other foundation. I'm looking at you saying, I don't think that's... Actually, that's not right. It's not tying into the word. It's not tying. See, everything, you want to know how to get close to God? Follow his words.
Amen.
Watch how you build. Watch what you throw in your foundation. Watch what you throw in your house. When you, each one of us are building a house.
That's right,
man. You're the house of God.
Yeah.
Each one of us out of a house we're building. What does it look like? Well, yeah, what house will you build me is what Brother Branham asked.
Yeah.
But what does your house look like?
Right.
When I look at you, do I see a house of God?
Right.
Or do I look at, or am I looking at somebody that's building on their thinking? Well, I know I'm laying brick, but, you know, it would look nice if I put this board right in the middle of the brick there and just, you know. And I know I'm supposed to put a window there, but let's just close that comes off and... I don't need a door. Just let's brick this whole thing. What kind of house you building? What kind of house are you building God to work with? What are you giving him to work with on this side? Because you say, well, hallelujah, I'm going to heaven. When I get to heaven, everything's going to be all right. Over here, we don't have to worry about it. You need to worry about it. You need to wonder. You need to watch how you build. You get, yeah, if you don't build it right here, it won't get there. I marvel that so soon removed from him that it called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you. and will pervert the gospel of Christ. You can sit in this message and pervert it to yourself. Sit right in a, sit right under the fountain. I'll never forget Sister Arma. She come here and looked at this church because back then they believed what we believed. I don't know what they believe today. But back then she looked at our congregation knowing that the water of God was flowing through this place. She looked at our congregation and said, it's a fool who will die of thirst with it right under the fountain. There's been a lot of fools go through this church. You say, that's an awful thing to say. I got to say it. They didn't build upon the foundation. And they spent their time putting up wood and gold and wool and mud and straw. And they put all that stuff on there. Paul said, you better watch. Watch how you build. He didn't even say, I don't care what you use. As long as it's the right material, as long as it's going on that foundation, as long as it's tying in to what he's already given you. See, I forgot that. Every revelation you get's got to tie into whatever God's given you.
Amen.
You get so far, and then you hear me say something that you don't like. And then you stop building. You lay your tool down and say, well, I don't agree with that. And he's not talking to me. Yeah, I am talking to you.
Amen.
You better watch how you build.
Amen.
You could be building a mess. And if you don't build it according to the word of God, that thing's going to come down around you.
Right.
I've seen other people build. Amen. And they put their jobs, their families, their kids, their careers, they put everything else in there thinking, oh, I can do all this. I can do all this. And the whole time they're building something that's not solid, not stable, and it crashes around them. Next thing you know, they're out of the house of God.
Amen.
What happened? Your house fell.
Right.
You didn't use the right materials. If you put your life together by the word of God, that's the right material.
Amen.
And it will stand. When everything else falls apart, it will stand.
Amen.
But though we, Paul included himself, and I include myself, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel, use any other material, put any other foundation, any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you already. See, that's why you got to build on that foundation, because that foundation is sure. And every revelation you get, you got to check that puzzle piece, because you got to look and see if it fits. Some preachers say things that are off a different puzzle. And you look and you had this piece, you look and says, this puzzle got a lot of blue, but this is red. I don't think this belongs there. Throw that aside and go back and find another blue one. If it doesn't fit, it's not for you. What I'm preaching here, it should be tying, your soul should be saying amen to everything that I'm saying. It should. You say, well, I don't believe everything you're saying. Then why are you here? Go find you a man, Brother Branham said. Right. Bringing it word upon word. If I'm not bringing it word upon word, don't invite me to come.
Amen.
And don't come see me.
Right.
If I'm not bringing it word upon word, don't even come to this church.
That's right.
So here he goes again, kicking us out again. There he goes. If you don't belong here,
amen,
I don't want you here.
Amen.
And if you don't belong here, you shouldn't want to be here.
Right.
You should be already packing your stuff up. And you know, this man's right. I ain't going to wait till the end of service. Let me just, I won't stop preaching. I won't say nothing. You just tip on out.
Amen.
We got deacons. They'll open the door for you.
Yeah.
We're better than Kroger's. But you got to understand, this is not a game.
Right.
This is not something to play with. You don't turn God on and off like a light.
Amen.
He's either your life or he's not.
Amen.
You say, well, he hasn't been. Then he can start today. See, that's the thing I love about the Word of God. Today is the day of salvation. Today, God always deal with the today, the I am. If you are awful until today, today's the first day of your life. You can serve God starting right now. You say, well, I've never done it right. Well, do it right now. Well, I've never took it serious. Take it serious now. Well, I've never considered it. Consider it now. He told Moses, Moses, tell him, I am sent you. It's always been the I am present tense God, because God's been building on this thing the whole time. He's building today. He's building right now. He's working on you right now. And as we said before and said again, Paul said, just like Jesus said, verily, verily, Paul said, can you hear me in the back? It says, I said it before and I'll say it again. If any man, see, that's how important this is that you're hearing today. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. You got to be so sure about your foundation that I don't care if the Pope comes in here preaching. You ain't going to be pushed and tossed about that.
Amen.
You ain't worried about no preacher. People say, well, we don't let Baptist preacher. I'll let them preach. We don't let message people that believes in this. I'll let them go. Climb up there. Take your best shot. But if your puzzle piece don't match what I have, then it ain't going nowhere. I'm telling you, I am building by the Word of God, not by the person.
Right.
And you got to do the same.
Right.
Be sure well, what you're building with. You should be able to pick up the Word of God. And if you don't think I'm telling you the Word of God this morning, then don't even worry about it.
Amen.
That's what Paul said. Let me be accursed if I come preaching any other gospel. If I try to bring anything to you that don't tie into with your revelation, let me be accursed. Because I'm not going to bring you nothing. I don't. Do you know why I don't go out on limbs? Because I only preach what God's revealed to me. And I know it's right. It's been tried, tested, proven. So I don't have to back down on the revelation. You say, I don't agree with you today. Well, I don't care. I really don't. You don't understand how little I care. I know what I'm building on. I know that my foundation is sure. I know that I've had 40-something years of word upon word upon word upon word upon word upon word, and I'm not worried about what anybody else thinks or says.
Amen.
This, you know, this building's pretty solid now. Oh, when you got just the foundation and you're starting out a little bit down there, it's a little shaky. You know, we couldn't even walk on the top of the walls until we got the corners together. You don't walk. Let me give you a little bit. You don't walk on a wall that hasn't had a corner turned.
That's right.
If it's not tied into the foundation, and the rest of it, you don't dare step out on that, because first thing you know, it's gonna do like this. And then great will be the fall thereof, because it's coming down and you're coming down, because it's not safe. A lot of people try to stand on a wall that's not safe. But I believe, I don't care what you believe. Does it tie to the foundation? Well, I don't have to listen to you. That's not what the Word says. Obey them, have rule over you. Oh, I didn't have that scripture written down. That just came out of nowhere. You must have needed it. So, well, I don't have to listen to you. No, you don't. But I don't rule over you either. Go find you somebody. Get. Leave it. I'm not trying to get numbers, as you see. I'm losing them left and right. Breaks my heart every time I lose a person. But you know what? I'd rather lose a person and save 40 or 50 than to try to hang on to 40 or 50 and this person here and lose everything. You don't build it right, it won't stand. The reason this church has stood all these years when people thought it should close the doors and everybody should walk away and on and on and on, the reason we stand is because we're standing on the Word of God. We're not standing on our education. We're not standing on our knowledge. We're not standing on our goodness. We're not standing on what other people think. We stand because the Word's here. And everybody else look at us like, why are y'all still, going to Fairborn? That's what always cracks me up when they ask me that. Yeah, I'm still going to Fairborn. Where else can I go? I'm like Peter. To whom shall I go? That only they have the words of eternal life.
Right. Amen.
You say, well, we all got it. No, we don't.
No.
If we all had it, our buildings would be built just as solid and the same. But they're crumbling every day.
Yeah.
People are walking out of these doors every day. I see them walk out of here. They sneak, you know, anymore. They sneak. Have you ever noticed? Nobody ever gets up here and say, hey, I can't stand this place and I'm leaving. No, they do this. They don't tell you they're going. You just look around like, what happened to brother? What happened to sister? I thought, last time they testified, they said, well, they started building with stuff that wasn't approved. It didn't meet code. They started putting them, well, I know we're using brick, but I've got a nice sponge about the same size. Let's just slide that in there and a pillow, put it there because they get too tough. Let's soften it up a little bit. And I think they're a little hard on us, and I don't think they need to call for us on this. And let's, you know, I really don't believe what pastor says about that. And I believe it's this way. And it's like you got this unapproved building material that you're building with. And then you get the house pretty high because some of them been here, some get here. They built a long time. They got 10, 20 years. We had people been here all their life. Somewhere along the line, they start building with other material. Yeah, leave a header out. Don't turn a corner. Don't put this stud in. Oh, you don't need a stud at the door. Just go ahead and just, you don't need this. Don't, that door, it's just a door. It's not going to wobble. Just only use 1 2x4. You put that up there, every time you close the door, the whole wall goes. But they start building them with stuff that is not approved.
Right.
And next thing you know, they get 10. Because we always wonder, how does a person go to church 20 years and leave? Yeah, they built a long time. They got all this building put together. But if you start listening to, if you could really get them to be honest, what material did you use to build this? Well, the pastor said this, but I don't really believe that. Oh, he just gets on me because I'm late to church every day. Oh, he gets on me because I let my wife get away with this. Oh, he gets away. The brothers don't have to get together. We don't have to. You know, the Bible doesn't say that. But I don't have to come to the house of God. You don't? I said you do. God's word said you do. You say, well, I don't have to. Go ahead, build that sponge. You keep building your building. Because you know what? They think their building's good. They really do. They don't build 20 years on the hopes that knowing that they're going to fall. They're hoping that it holds. They just think they're as good as the master builder. They think, well, you don't have to mix water with that mortar. Just use the powder. It's cleaner. Stuff it between the brick. It'll be all right. It'll rain one day. You know, I know. They get all kind of reasons why their idea is better than the Word of God,
amen,
than the Master Builder. The Master Builder is talking to you today, and if you're sitting there batting him away, oh, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe this. I don't believe that. Go ahead and build.
Right.
It might take 20 years.
Okay.
You might have your building up 3 stories.
Yeah.
But sooner or later, by and by, because you built on the wrong foundation and you didn't follow the instructions that the master builder said, you're going to crumble. We don't have to worry about Jesus building crumble. He's the master builder. He built this thing perfect. Brother Brown said, Paul said also over in another chapter, said, if an angel from heaven preaches any other gospel than that you've heard me preach, let him be accursed, whether he be bishop, cardinal, whatever it might be. Yes, if an angel from heaven, let alone a cardinal or a bishop or a preacher, that preaches any other than the policy of the eternal life that Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. I'm not saying you got to take my word to take my word. I'm saying I'm preaching you the word of God. And it's not my word, it's his word. I'm just telling you, I'm breaking down to you in plain English what he wants you to believe in him and know. I'm just doing that. It's not me. I really don't like saying I don't care, because that sounds very uncaring. And pastors are supposed to care, and we do care. That's why we do what we do. But when I say I don't care enough about you that I'm going to sell out the Word of God. That's when I say I don't care. I'll let friends, family, wife, kids, brothers, if I let my children go, you know where you stay. I told the brothers yesterday, I said, you know what? And I felt, I just felt to say it. I said, you know, it's probably good for you sisters to know too, because y'all suffer the same thing. I said, you kick yourself when your kids get up and they get out on their own and they don't serve God. And you think, what did I do wrong? What could I have done differently? How can I have done better? What? And you kick yourself and you knock yourself and you go back in your mind and say, had I been a better mother? Had I been a better father? Had I not been so strict? Maybe I shouldn't have been so strong. Maybe I shouldn't have pushed the message. You know, maybe. We do that. And I told him yesterday, I said, listen, brothers. I said, your job is to raise your kid to their of age and get them in the house of God. You did that. But when they come of age, it's no longer on you. Don't kick yourself because your kid ain't serving God. That's their choice. That's their decision. It's not because of you. It's because they don't believe. So quit dogging yourself over something that you're not even responsible. It's like, man, if the Republicans were in the White House right now, man, if we just hadn't lost the Senate, or if we got the House, or if the Supreme Court had only just, if they'd only voted this one, and you're kicking yourself about something you have no control over, it wasn't your decision. It's their decision. This world is falling apart because of their decision. Your kids walked away from the Word of God because of their decision. So quit kicking yourself. You did the part. Now, if you didn't bring them to church when they were kids, yeah, I blame you. You got your little aliens running around the house and they don't believe in God, don't pray for their dinner, breakfast, lunch, don't even look up to see where it comes from, and they're 6 and 7 years old and they never had no God put in them, or the God you put them in is some false thing that you got them praying to something that they don't even know exists. Then I blame you. But if you brought them under the fountain, brought them under the Word of God, kept them here, woke them up when they went to sleep, stopped them from drawing when they should pay attention, and put up with all the little kid stuff until they finally got to the place they, like Jeremiah, just squirming. One day he stopped squirming and said, let me just see what this man's saying. Then it became his. It's his choice. His parents didn't have to tell him, stop squirming then. They have to wake them up at the end of service. Then you keep waking your kids up until they finally realize, I need to listen. Don't feel bad that they fall asleep. They should. They're kids. But when they get to that little place where they start hearing the Word of God for themselves and they start really recognizing that it's God, then the best thing you can do is be their friend. Because it's their choice. If they choose not to serve God, that's on them. I got them anyway. But what they lose out on all these benefits. Do you know there's so many benefits that we don't even hardly take? Oh, Lord. We have benefits just being in this body. You have benefits just being in this seat. You have benefits just being able to pay attention and watch and listen to God. We had our brothers yesterday in that room, and I said, you know, I was talking about leadership and all that. I said, well, I don't need to do all the talk. I said, we got brothers here who's managed. We've got brothers who's been in school, training, and I let them talk. And it's like, you know, we got benefits in just being here with each other. That's what people lose out on. That's what our kids lose out on. My best friends are in the church. Amen. The ones I can count on are here.
Yeah.
The ones I depend on are here. I got friends out in the world. I got friends that I go to other churches. I got a lot of friends. I got friends in the message. I got a lot of friends. But I like home. When you get home, you take your shoes off.
Yeah.
You don't have to watch what you say.
Amen.
You know, you're with family. You say what you feel, and you feel what you say. And if they don't like it, they'll tell you what they feel and what they say. And you go around and around and around. And then when it's all said and done, you get your clothes on and go to church and praise God together. Still family. Paul said over here, and this is what I'm talking about God building. He's building a house. Paul said over in Hebrews, he said, therefore, leaving the principles. See, you ain't going to stay there. That's the foundation. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Now, he's explained to us what the foundation is right here. This is the foundation. The doctrine of Christ. Let us go unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation. Now you need to know what the foundation is. Paul knew he was building, but he knew he wasn't trying to keep you at the foundation. You don't put the cornerstone in and a cornerstone down and call it a day. You don't pour the footer and stop working. He said, let us go into perfection. He knew the perfection was the building of the entire body. The completion of the building, not the start. You ain't done nothing when you started. You just begun. He said, let us go into perfection, not laying again the foundation of the repentance from dead works. That's part of the foundation. Not your works, not your goodness, not what you can offer, not what you can bring. That's a foundational doctrine that you got to recognize it's not I, but it's Christ. And you're not working your way into heaven, but it's by his amazing grace that we get to go. Repentance from dead works and a faith towards God. You got to have that. That's foundational. Without faith. See, I got other scriptures I don't even have written down here that fits right and dovetail. See, that's how I know I'm building this thing right. Because the scriptures dovetails with scriptures. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's foundational. If you don't have a revelation, if you're not born again, and that's one and the same. If you're not born again, you can't build anything right. And faith towards God. The doctrine of baptism. You got to be baptized. That's what they said. Repent and be baptized. These are foundational. You try to say, I need to know what the foundation. I'm reading them to you right now. I'm telling you, if you don't have these, you don't have a foundation. Water baptism, the doctrine of baptism, and the laying on of hands, having faith, believing God, knowing that he said, by his stripes, I'm healed.
Amen.
These are foundational. God's a healer.
Yes.
Laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead. If you don't believe the dead are going to get up, you're not even a believer. That's foundational.
Amen.
Paul believed that, knowing that it was going to go in. Paul said, it's going to go in, but it's going to come up.
Amen.
Irenaeus said, it's going in, but it's going to come up.
Right.
Martin said, we're getting up. Luther said, we're getting up. Columbus said, we're getting up. Wesley, Pentecost, every one of them had the foundation.
Yes, sir.
Right. Every one of them believed in the resurrection.
Yeah.
You got churches that, well, we don't believe in the rapture. Then you don't even believe in the foundational doctrine. Your house is built on sinking sand. Resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people think judgment is bad. Judgment is not always bad.
No.
Judgment, if you go to court and you're in front of the judge and the judge says, I am acquitting you, that's not bad.
That's not bad.
That's good. And by it being eternal judgment,
right.
You're either his eternally or you're not his ever. That's foundational. That's predestination.
Yeah.
That I come from God and I'm going to God.
Amen.
Those are the foundational doctrines that Paul said, that's what this church is built on.
Amen.
That's the foundation now. Now let's build.
Yes.
Let's go in imperfection. Let's put the doors in. Let's put the windows in. Let's build the walls. Let's bring the capstone down and put it on top of the house. Got to leave those things. Brother Branham says, see, Paul wants to know that these things here are absolutely essential. Absolutely essential. If you don't believe those things, you don't have a foundation. You say, well, we believe in Buddha, and Buddha's got this and this and that, and we believe that we were pre-existing, and we got all, they got all this stuff. You better get a foundation. Can't build on that. He said, the church come through. He said, Paul wanted to make sure these things are absolutely essential. Baptism, laying on of hands, the resurrection, the second coming. All these things are eternal. They are absolutely the truth. That's our foundation. That's where we started. That's where that God started to build his building. He started to build his house. Brother Branham said the church will come through justification, through Luther, through sanctification, through Wesley, through the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the Pentecostal, and go right on into perfection of the Son of Man. And when the husband and the wife will be the same self persons, God will be so manifested in his bride, his church, till they will both be the same. They are one. Now you see where we're at? You see where we're at, church? We're the same. The capstone, the Son of Man ministry, it's come on the scene now. He has built this building. He's built this church, and now we're one and the same. The builder and the house becomes the same. You build it, then you move in it. God built the house, started with the foundation, built the thing, brought down the capstone, and then he moved into his body. Now we're one and the same. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm all this. Don't go by feelings. Well, I don't feel justified. You've been. I don't feel sanctified. You've been. I don't have all the gifts. You got them. Oh, God don't talk to me like he talks to y'all. Yes, he does. He's talking to you right now. He talks to you every day. He talks to you in songs. He talks to you in prayer. He talks to you through your spouse. He talks to you through nature. He talks to you. Now that we know who we are, everywhere we look, we see God. We see God in the rising of the sun and the going down of the same. We see God in the springtime at the resurrection when the plants come out. God's talking to us. This house is built now. 2 Thessalonians, it says, let no man deceive you by any means, for the day shall not come except there come a falling away first. That has to happen. And the Son of Man, the man of sin, be revealed. That has to happen. The son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he and God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's all. Paul knew that had to come. Paul wasn't worried about the rapture. He wasn't. He knew it wasn't happening in his day. He knew too much. He knew too much word. He knew too much revelation. Paul was like, man, it's going to be a little while. That man of sin has to get exposed. He said, grievous wolves already got here before, even before my departure, not before the rapture. He knew he wasn't getting a rapture. He said, even before my departure, grievous wolves are coming. Man, y'all are tearing this house down. Brother Branham said, now historians remember, and you that are going to hear this tape, check it up and find out if it's right or if it's not right. The church died at Nicaea, Rome, when she took dogmas and creeds instead of the original word. What was it? God had showed by the first church age that he was God. He had a church perfected. But the church, like all other seeds, must fall into the ground and die. Now it fell into the ground and died and wasted away. It had to. It was ordained to. That was the promise. Joel 2, won't go there, but he said, I will restore. That was the promise God had, because that was part of God's building. It wasn't just a restoration of anything. It was God bringing us back to that same foundation that we had and building on that thing. Okay, Brother Branham said here, and today, our last great reformation was Pentecost. Today we're moving from that. And the Pentecostal message won't mix with this, because it's another day. It's all the Word of God. Listen to this. This is where I'm getting to. It's all the Word of God, but it's building. Like the feet, arms, coming up. It formed a bride for the rapture. See? Don't displace them people back there. They lived their message. Amen. Brother Brandon wasn't taken away from the building of the body. He said they lived their message. Oh, my. All them will come out that was in the bride. Just like life going through the stalk of wheat, its leaves, it leaves the wheat, the husk, but the wheat form itself like the grain of wheat that fell into the ground. When you get back to the original, you get back to what God first put in the ground. We have exactly what God first planted on the day of Pentecost. We're not sitting here trying to figure this out and trying to guess it. That's why we don't battle back and forth and go back and forth. What if, maybe it's not. No. We know what it is. Yes. Now, listen to what Brother Branham said. I got a few more quotes here. I got one. I'm saving this one. But this one I'm going to read. He said, now, he's not only given crowns, but he says that these that are in the bride will be made pillars in the temple of God. But what is the temple of God? Jesus spoke of his body as being the temple. It was. It was the temple of God. But now that we are his body, the true church is the temple of God by the Holy Ghost within us. Now he is going to make the overcomer a pillar in that temple. But what is a pillar? A pillar is exactly a part of the foundation, for it holds up the structure. Praise God. That puts the overcomer right there in with the apostles and prophets. You that are overcomer, he said, I'll put you in as a pillar of God in his temple. And he said, yes, and verse 22 says that we are built together with them. Everything went through that door, Jesus, and is a part of that body or temple. Now, when God put a man in a temple as a pillar and makes him a part of that foundation, it makes him a part of the foundation group. What is he doing? He is giving him the revelation of the word and of himself, because it is exactly what the apostles and prophets had. Brother Brennan was saying, we are that body. We are that temple. We're what God's been working on and building on the whole time. It wasn't just God just out here trying to figure this out. He's been working the entire time. Amen. Just to quote it, 1 Corinthians 13, just to keep moving, I'm going to close here this afternoon. It said, just to verse 12, for now we see it through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even also as I am known. They had it in part, because he was building. You can't move in a house when you just put the foundation in. You got a lot of work to do. But when you get that work done, then God can let you move into it. Brother Branham said, won't read it. Question answer number 2, we have that which is perfect now. We're not waiting on it. Now, I want to read this quote to y'all so bad. Amen. I'm getting ready to close, but I'm going to read it. But I won't read the scripture. Just let me take you back over here to remind you. In Matthew chapter 14, Jesus was there with the disciples. And they were out, and they were doing their thing, and they got hungry. Jesus wanted to feed them. Remember that story? The little boy two fishes and bread, the loaves. Remember? Jesus was concerned about the people eating. See, we think God don't care. We think down through the ages, the devil just whipping all up on us. And God didn't know what was going on. And he was fighting with everything he had to just barely hang on. And oh, the devil was winning. Looks like the devil won. The last age went into total darkness and black. Looks like the devil was winning. It looks like God. I mean, if you look at the white versus the black, don't look too good. But what you got to understand, we're misreading what we're seeing. Jesus got those disciples together, said, what do we have? Get all the food we have and let's feed these people. They said, huh, all we got is two little fishes and a loaf of bread. It's like, ugh. And Jesus said, all right. He looked over the crowd. There's like 5,000. He said, all right, sit them down. Jesus set them down. Now, he didn't tell the disciples to go take that bread to them. He didn't tell them. He said, give it to me. You know why Jesus wanted that bread? Because it was his job. It was his job to feed. And I've got a quote here I'm going to read. And I want to give you that just overview. Because I'm going to read this, what Brother Branham said. This about made me just run around the house shouting. It's like, I told you so. I told you so. I tell y'all things, and then I'm going to go back and I see what Brother Branham said. I ain't making this stuff up. This is exactly what the prophet brought to us. Listen to what Brother Branham said in the Seven Church Age book. He said, his word was the bread. It was the perfect manna, which if any man live by, he shall never die. But right after the death of the fathers, no one seemed to know the exact truth. And in a short while, this manna seemed to have been hidden to the people. This is Brother Brim's talking about church ages. Remember what I've done? Think about what I've been saying now. It seems like the manna has been hidden to the people. But in every age, God began to give back by revelation that which was hidden until the last day, according to Revelation 10 and 7. A prophet would come and reveal all the mysteries, and then the Lord will come. Now in each age, Brother Branham said, I say the messenger received hidden truth. But they did not receive it for themselves only. But it is as it was when the disciples were asked to serve the multitude loaves and fish. Jesus gave them the broken food. But they in turn gave it to the people. God gives his hidden manna to the overcomer. It cannot be otherwise. He will not open his treasures to those who spurn what he's already revealed. He said, what I've been saying about the messenger of each age receiving from God some of the original truth. Now listen to this. He said the messenger received from God some of the original truth. It wasn't the messenger turning the truth down. It was the messenger of the age receiving some of the original truth of Pentecost. It's a type out of the Old Testament where Moses commanded to take up 3 1/2 pints of manna and place it in the golden vessel behind the veil of the Holy of Holies. There, the high priest of every generation could enter with that sacrificial blood. Then he could take a small portion of this manna. See, they weren't throwing the word away. They were only given a portion for their day. It was always in God's hands. It never was God not building. It's been God building the whole time, but he only gave them a portion for their day. He said, there's a high priest of every generation could enter with sacrificial blood. Then he could take a small portion of the manna, for it did not corrupt, which was part of the original, and eat it. Now in every age, the messenger of the Lord to that age was given the revelation of God for a specific period. I don't make this stuff up, people.
Amen.
They were given a specific revelation just for their age. Every age, the messenger of the Lord to that age was given the revelation of God for the specific period. Once the messenger was enlightened by truth, he would bring that truth to the people, and they whose ears have been opened by the Spirit would hear the truth, believe it, and live it. See, these people were part of that building that God's building. God was building the whole time. It's always been God's building. It's never been Satan's tricks, and it's never been about Satan overpowering God at all. It's God's choosing what he gives, how he breaks off the bread, and how he gives it to the messenger. And the messenger took that bread and gave it to the people. And that's all that he was responsible for. It's never been about Satan overpowering God. Matter of fact, every time you look in the book of Revelation, whenever a horse rider went forth, it wasn't a horse rider exposing the beast. It was the beast saying, come and see. God was never in the dark on the horse riders. He was never in the dark on Satan. He was never trying to figure this out. God was building a house the whole time.
Amen.
Said over in 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 1, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, there that ye may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a lively stone, disannulled indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You are part of that building. This is what God's been building the whole time. You get to the capstone. Remember, Brother Brown talked about the capstone. Don't have it here. But the capstone on the pyramid came at the finish of everything.
Amen.
When the capstone comes down, you don't put a roof on a house until it's done.
Right.
You don't put a roof on a house until the walls and the foundation and everything else is built up. The last thing that goes on is the roof. Oh, you'll go inside and you'll do drywall and you'll do things on the inside. But as far as the building external is concerned, the roof. As far as the bride's concerned, the last thing that came onto this body was the capstone people. The roof seals everything. The roof keeps out the rain, keeps out the weather. It saves everything else in under the roof. Did you hear that? The roof saves the whole house.
Amen.
The capstone people.
Amen.
The last of the building.
Yes.
We're on top of the entire seven church age, saving the entire thing because the capstone has come down with the perfect understanding of everything that God was building.
Amen.
We're no longer trying to figure this out. We're no longer trying to do this on our own. God has built another masterpiece. And this masterpiece consisted of this bride that he's been building on. It's never been God fighting Satan. It's always been Satan fighting God. God was building, while he's fighting Satan, God's building over here, punching Satan like this. And Satan's fighting with everything he has, thinking, oh, I'm getting somewhere. God put his hand on Satan's head, just hold him at bay. It didn't slow God down. It didn't mess God's plan up. This is exactly what God planned. And God was building a house the whole time. And what house will God build? There, right there. Right here, right amongst us. Now we're standing here. The body of Jesus Christ. The building of Jesus Christ. We are what he's been trying to get to the whole time. It hasn't been God trying to defeat the devil. It's light doesn't run. Darkness doesn't run off light. It wasn't darkness running in there. It's just God broke off a little bit and gave it to Irenaeus. And then when he gave Irenaeus that little bit, Satan said, hey. See, lack of revelation leaves room for your own thinking.
Right.
And they did it in every age. They had only a little bit of bread broke off to them, and then the rest of it was filled with man's ideas. And here we are at the fullness. There should be no lack of revelation now.
Amen.
Son of Man ministry, it's not a lack of revelation. It's full word, full revelation. Amen. On the scene again. Now we know what to do with the word of God.
Right.
Now the body can get up. Now we have protected the whole seven church ages.
Yes, sir.
By coming on the scene. Capstone. Capstone is what made the pyramid a pyramid. I think Jeremiah, what did you say it was before that? Something else. Some math term. Trapezoid or something, I don't know. Something like that. But it wasn't a pyramid, that's all I know. I may not be smart in math, but I know it wasn't a pyramid. But the thing that I love about it, the thing you got to understand is that a pyramid, that capstone is a pyramid in itself. It's the completeness of everything God was doing in itself. And the cornerstone was a pyramid in itself because it was He Himself. But we built on that cornerstone, and then we brought the capstone down, and now the bride is on the scene. She knows every bit of this, knows what to do with the word. She is the house that God was building. She is everything that He wanted. He's not going to go from us to something else. He is satisfied with what He has in you. He knows what He has. This is what He's wanted the whole time. This is what He's been building forward to the whole time. And now the capstone's down on the body. And not only is it going to get us up, that's why you can't be a little all lone island. You say, well, I don't get along with anybody, and nobody gets along with me. You better learn.
Yeah.
You can't do this by yourself. You can't be your own little island now. Oh, in Pentecost, we got away with just getting our little cliques and our little groups, and we get in our corner and just do our little thing. But you know what? This is a body now. You can't make it without me. I can't make it without you. There's only going to be one rapture, one group that's going to get up. It's going to be the bride of Jesus Christ. And you're not going to leave without me, and I'm not leaving without you. And you're not going to be ahead of me. He said, well, I'm going to rapture before you. All that race will be over. It'll be the bride rapturing. It'll be the bride resurrecting. And you might have your own little things you're doing down here, and you may include me and may not. That's all right. That's okay. But when it comes to the rapture, you can't leave me. Can't go without me. You say, you're dragging me down. Well, you just have to be dragged down. Because I'm going. I'm a part of this thing. I'm a part of the body. You may not like this part of my body. There's part of my body I don't like. But you know what? Still part of me. I can't live without it. You're still part of me. You say, well, you're an appendix. You just, all you do is collect poison. Well, that may be right, but you know what? You need me. It's a body. God's built a body here. And this bride is on her feet. She knows what it is. We're not trying to get something. We're not trying to pump up something, trying to do something. We're just sitting here with a clear understanding. When you know what time the bus schedule says it's going to be there, you just go over there and says, you know what? Bus is coming at 12. Rock. It's 11:50. You got these nervous nannies who go to the bus stop. Did we miss it? Did we miss the rapture? Did it happen and we didn't know it? Did the bus come and we missed it? No. It's going to be right on time. Just settle down. Sit down here on this bench. That's why you got this bench. So you can relax, rest. Don't be a nervous nanny. Some of y'all are nervous nannies.
I know.
Oh, I'm hurrying to get out. Here we go. I'm hurrying to get out of here. I'm so ready to go. Well, I am too. But until then, I'm going to enjoy this life. I ain't going to spoil this life trying to worry about next life. Like somebody sitting there eating a meal trying to figure out what's next meal. You know, you need to enjoy what you got. Don't worry about you sitting there eating breakfast like, well, what? Clarice, what are we having for lunch? Well, eat your breakfast. Nervous nanny? People are trying to figure out, well, we need the rapture. We got to have this. We got to have that. You know what? The rapture comes when the rapture comes. The body change will come when the body change comes. You ain't going to hurry it up. You say, well, I want to kill myself. Well, that ain't going to bring on a rapture. It might bring yours on. But then all you're going to do is miss out on all this fun on this world. All this fun on this side. You say, well, I want to end this thing. You know what? God don't want you to end it. If God wanted you to end it, he'd stop pumping your heart. You can make it through this life. You say, but it's tough. Yes, it's tough. It's called life. The bride goes through what everybody else goes through. We lose loved ones. We lose jobs. We lose spouses. We get divorces. We get everything everybody else get. But what we have that they don't have is we have hope. We got a promise. And we rest on those promises. And if we lose some, we just say, I'll get it back. It's mine. Lose them here, get them there. God's got this thing. He's been building this body for a long time. And now that he's got us, let him do what he wants with you, because this is what he's worked really hard to get to. He's not going to go from this to something else. He said, well, okay, I'm through it, man. Now I'm going to go to the birds. No. No. This is where he wants to live. This is where he wants to dwell. This is where he have his greatest joy. This is where he have his greatest fellowship. And you're sitting there looking like, why, God, why me? Why'd you choose me? Why didn't you just leave me in the mud? I mean, that's what we do. Anytime we go through a bad time. But then when we go through a good time, oh, praise God, I'm so glad I'm one of them. I knew God loved me. I knew God was going to take care of me. We're so fickle. But if you lean on the Word of God, it'll raise those low places and lower those high places, and you'll be like he is, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the good time, praise his name. In the bad times, do the same. In everything, give God the praise. That's what we should do. We are the house that God built. He's been working on this thing for 2,000 years, and he was pleased with every age and everything he's done with it. He was good with it all. And now that he got us here, let us be what he wants to be. Let him have it. Let him have it. He said, well, I get tired. Well, he did. He got tired. Jesus got on that boat and he went down in the belly of the boat. It wasn't because he was just running from people. He was tired. He went out to pray with the disciples. Getting ready to give his life. Last sacrifice he had. He said, hey, y'all want to stay up and pray with me? They're like, man, we've been walking for 2 days. Okay, we'll stay up. And they got tired. Jesus got tired, just like you get tired. Amen. Yet he did what was ordained for him to do. And so will you. Reggie used to sing, I don't feel no ways tired. Come too far from where I started. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. But I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. Amen. Yeah. Ooh.
I sit here and think about this. It's kind of got excited. It's a little Don Allen story, but it's true. Six-sided hexagon was based on a man.
Oh, yeah. You better get a microphone.
Hexagon is a six-sided polygon.
Mm-hmm.
And number six is the number of man.
Mm-hmm.
And when it before it got capped, we was in the face of a man age.
That's right.
Now it gets better. When it gets capped, it turns from six sides to five sides.
That's right.
What's five? Grace.
That's right.
What did the capstone do when it came down?
Brought grace.
Grace, grace, grace.
Capstone brought grace. That's all right. Oh, you're too busy thinking. Amen. Come on, musicians.
Mm-hmm.
To get a prayer cloth for her. I'm going down to see her on Saturday. She's been having some pain in her back, and she's got to go to an appointment on Tuesday. She might have to have surgery, but I'm just believing for a good report and God just to completely heal her. She's a believer. She believes this thing, and I just want to go down with all your prayers and just believe for complete healing for my mom.
Amen. Amen. When are you going down next Saturday?
Do the same thing for Sway. She told me to ask a prayer cloth for her. She's just having aches and pains, and I told her, you're going to be all right. You know what I mean? And while I'm up here, too, I want to thank God for this message, because this is, it's a blessing. It really is. And, you know, when you're talking about God in the middle of your body, you know, it's so easy to miss God because we're so focused on, like you said, the pastor, but, you know, God's in me, too.
That's right.
And if you just focus on Kevin, because you look about what I did in my past and stuff like that, you're going to be tripped every single time.
Mm-hmm.
If the words coming out of my mouth is God, then just take it and run with it. Stop looking at the flesh, because the flesh is going to trip every single time. You're going to get messed up, and you're going to be tossed to and fro every single time if you keep looking at that.
That's right.
And even with me, I don't want to be like that. If a brother or sister tells me something, I want to take it as thus saith the Lord, and not look at them as just that person. That's not about that. And I don't want that. I don't. If God's telling me something, even if it comes from a child, I'm going to listen to it and run with it.
That's right.
I am, and I'll just thank God for that, because it's just we get a balance here, and we take it so lightly, and I don't want to do that. I don't. Amen. This place has been a blessing to me, and it's helped my life every way it goes. I don't even worry about stuff anymore. I don't. Like I used to, God's got it. He Amen. Does. I just got to rest. God, it's your timing. It will happen. If he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. You can't say you trust God, but you're sitting there worrying.
That's right.
You don't trust God. Mm. Just keep it 100. You don't trust God if you always toss to and fro like that.
Right.
And if God says he's going to do it, just lean on it and trust it.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
That's it.
Let's trust him. The song says, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, so thankful for your word. Lord, our brothers are standing here in behalf of others, Sister Judy and Sister Sway. Lord, they're not. It's not that they don't believe. They do believe. That's why they ask for these cloths. And we ask you to send forth your word. You said, by your stripes we're healed. And Father, even before the cloth can reach them, I ask you to touch the bodies. Lord, you know what's needed, and we ask you to help us to surrender that to you and to let you have our lives. Send forth your healing power to our sisters. Bless our brothers for standing in a gap, believing for them. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 We'll walk in the light. Don't forget tonight, 7:00 Bible study, and all the other announcements that are laid out before us. Good to have you all here. Do come back. Amen. We'll walk in the light, such a beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Amen. We'll walk in. Is that, what key is that? Huh? Should put in an F maybe. We'll walk in the light. Such a beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. It shines all around us by day and by night. For it's Jesus, the light of the world. Oh, we'll walk in. Oh, such a beauty. For it shines all around us by day and by night. For
dismissed.